Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Come on.
Julian, are you ready?
I am very ready right now.
I love it. I'm ready. The people are ready. Let's go. Welcome to Lifeblood Engage. This is George G. Our guest today is a strong and powerful Julian Ryan. Julian is the principal at J. Ryan Partners. They are an organization helping people to be engaged at work. She's a mentor, a speaker, and an author. Again, I'm excited to have you on. Julian, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, if it isn't abundantly clear, I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens, which always impacts my voice, and I married for decades to a Dublin man who never made a sentence he couldn't make longer, and I use my personal life in my work to coach people and also support their changes and do team building, exactly. So I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about my coaching and the book, but I'm going to let you ask a few questions. Otherwise, I'll be interviewing you most of the session.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. Tell me a little bit about, it's interesting, because I'm pretty sure that you are a good listener, yet your husband sounds like a good talker when you say that he's never met a sentence he didn't like to make longer. How does that kind of shake out? Maybe it works great.
It's my longitudinal study about communications and patience. And I think that's important about how I work and what really makes me successful when I'm coaching people and talking to large groups. I show up as I am. I laugh about the ironic part of how we behave and how we all grew up one way or the other and just have some fun with that. And I think because I take a very casual but very supportive approach, people relax, they feel heard, and they listen. And I think that's the big hallmark of all of my work, whether it's group work or individual work, or even the thing I wrote in my book, which we'll talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. That's if you're able to help people or allow them, whatever the term is, to relax, feel heard, and then they're in a place where they can probably take in information themselves.
Yeah, it's all about showing up. I mean, I used to think there's a magic formula to the best way to do something, the best way to be there for somebody. But it's really simple. Show up, listen, take a pause. Whatever you're excited about talking about, whether you're enthusiastic about what the person's saying or you're having a negative reaction, it's okay. If you give that person time to speak, chances are you're going to get a chance to speak as well. So be present, I think, is the big phrase. It's simple, but it works. You don't need an app. You don't need an upgrade. You don't need to, you know, change your software. Just try that every day is my big mantra of the moment.
Yeah. Could it be the opposite of that, is that your apps and your upgrades and your hacks are doing the exact opposite of helping you to be present?
Well, let me tell you, you better tell the audience what we went through this morning. So I'm all well lit. I look perfect for my video shot here with you, and we're on the phone. So we couldn't get on Skype. We tried three times. Then we tried a phone. I was talking away, and the phone dropped. So it's like, it's an irony. And of course, when we get to the title of the book, it's only fitting that the way I write, because our technology is supposed to help us and complement it. It doesn't solve all our problems, and it actually sometimes can create a few new ones for us, like this morning.
Yeah, that's the perfect segue. So give us the title. Tell me about the book.
Yes, finally. Thank you. Learned It in Queens, Communication Playbook, Winning Against Digital Distraction. Now, long title, little book, basically a chapter book with pictures that has a big message. And it's meant to be fun, and it's meant to, like, jog your memory when you're getting yourself in trouble. And I have to confess to everybody, I use this book every day because it's so easy to make assumptions. It's so easy to go down the wrong path when we're not feeling our best. And I basically wrote it for me. And I wrote it when I had to give a speech to a bunch of tech happy people, chief executive officers, all happy with their stuff. And I was like, okay, great. I'm going to talk to a room full of 500 people that love this stuff, and I want to go there and complain about it. And I'm from New York. So the book came out of really my internal dialogue, and the speech worked. 500 people paid attention, and we had fun, and we connected. And it happened more than once. So there's some wisdom tucked away in that little sentence there.
No,
show up and tell them how you are and what you want to complain about, and it usually works.
Love it. I love it. You hit on, or I picked up on a couple of really, I imagine, super important things. How it is so wow. easy for us. To, how it is so easy for us.
How it I'm is. Impressed.
Yes. I'm trying to be present and to be a good listener. So, it's easy to make assumptions. It's easy to go down the wrong path. Tell me about that.
Yes. Assumptions, we have conversations in our head, whether we like it or not, about the situation. We write a dialogue about the situation. So when I got to, let's see, let me flip through my book, or if I can find the chapter. We start to write the script before the person even has a chance to open their mouth or reply. We've already decided what they are saying and why and how we want to react. So I think that is my big message, is if we can step away from our assumptions and just take a pause, we're probably better off. And there's a good wisdom of also saving things in draft, by the way. I think a lot of conflicts in our work situations, and they maybe not copy the planet. So while you're working things out in your head, what's going on, you might want to step away from the computer and do something healthy, like take a walk, or at least, you know, sit someplace else in your apartment for 5 minutes and take a pause.
Yeah, there's a wisdom in having pencils with erasers versus just putting everything in the form of permanent ink, which is sending an email to somebody when you're pissed off.
Yes. Listen, Joy, I worked in employee relations for years. I think I built part of somebody's house at times, one of our lawyers. And so I thought, you know, we could save so much money if people would just show up and get out of their chair when we were still in chairs and in offices. So we're kind of feeling nostalgic about that right now. But to just talk to somebody. And a lot of times this stuff that was getting debated about was so, so simple. And it could have been just worked out with a simple conversation. Sometimes mediated, but, you know, a conversation.
This episode is brought to you by Money Alignment Academy. If you are looking for a financial wellness platform for your company, your organization, and your employees, check out moneyalignmentacademy.com or click on the link in the notes of the show. Yeah. And I do not find myself longing for being in an office chair. I don't know if that was just a trite comment that you made, Julian, or if you're making jokes, but
I would like to be with people again.
Yes, you're right.
It's not all the time. It's okay, but in stages.
Yes.
I do miss walking into a room, and I've been talking to colleagues and clients. There is something in the energy of how we connect with people when we walk into the room and we're able to put our hand on somebody's, you know, like extend it for a handshake, to sit down, to use our body, to lean in and listen to somebody and be engaged and work with the room and have some fun with it, the energy and what transpires. Zoom has been a blessing because we could see people or any of the video technologies we've been using. But it's not the same thing as turning around to the person next to you and having a couple of second conversation. And also food. Listen, I'm from Queens. We have to eat. I miss feeding people and I miss sitting around the table because that's where I learned the most about other people, sharing a meal and listening to their backstories and what informs their communication. So there's a chapter in my book about that for sure, because you got to eat. And I think you learn a lot at a table when you break food and just share it and learn about the history of a meal and why it's important or what's somebody's favorite move. It's not rocket science. You know, there's simple things we could be doing that will make a difference. And I think there's an opportunity now for us to remember that.
1,000%. So 1,000%. So I am a small business and I have a new partner that I'm working with, and they've given me access to Slack channels and a different email address. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just this. I can't see how this is a net positive. So I empathize with probably a lot of your clients who are sort of going through that. So how do you help them survive?
I'm trying to help me survive, Lyman, because I'm on 3 Slack channels. Yeah. You know, the good news, I'm getting invited to show up places, so it's a blessing. But it's trying to manage of all our invitations and all those dialogues and what has been the most recent and important thing. I think we all have to take a lesson and say, what's important for me right now and what can I do to communicate to somebody else how I'm going to show up or not show up in this situation? Because the good news with Slack, you do have communications, and I'm on, you know, this thing called Collective Brains and another 2 business groups, but we can't be everywhere for everything. And I think that's the challenge of our digital, because we're going to make a choice for ourselves, chances are we're going to be rejecting somebody, not in a mean way, but we just can't be there for them in that second. So I think it's about choices and a lot of communicating. I don't know about you, but I communicate more now because, like, to verify even this we're doing, you send an email, you send a voicemail, we end up calling. So we're working doubly hard where we realize it or not. And the other part is, how is our energy showing up in a call with our voice, with our body language, and like you said at the earlier part, being present. You know, putting all the gadgets down, all the pop-up messages, turning around and ignoring that when you're on the call with somebody. Like right now, I'm not looking at anything. I'm listening to you. That's all I can do.
Yeah, certainly amen to that. And I think that if we're not mindful of this, well, I guess I should just ask a question. How can people be good stewards of their attention?
They have to make a conscious choice. A mutual friend of ours, Jerome DeRoy, teaches the narrative method. And that was really thoughtful method about showing how we be present and be ready for listening and telling somebody that we're ready for listening. And the reason I like that method is because it was something I was doing for a long time. I just didn't have a fancy name to attach to it. But it's about telling somebody, you don't have to spill your personal guts to everybody, but you can tell somebody if you were a couple minutes distracted, you got a very interesting phone call or something that has your attention, and then it gives you permission to be prepared and start to give that person the attention, even if it's just for a few minutes. And taking notes basically helps. I know a lot of folks like to type them into their iPads or their phones, but the act of writing also helps because we can write a single word and experience as a mind and body connection to it. So that's a lot of ways to connect. Here's a tip I learned. I took a brainstorming class many, many years ago, and they said when you have a lot of noise and you're trying to listen, to divide the paper into two columns, I should say, what the person is saying, and then in one column on the side, the words and things that are popping up into your head, like, what do I want to eat for dinner? You know, I need to pick that up from the store. That way it kind of clears your head, and you can go back to listening and paying attention. The other thing, too, is to let the other person know when you're on a video screen, when your head is down, that you're actually present, that you're jotting a word down or two. It's not because you're ignoring them or, you know, reading, your Facebook post or something. So
right, or be honest and let them know that you're sobbing.
Yeah, it happens. Look, you make such an I know. I joke a lot, but you brought up an excellent point, because I was talking about that to a colleague who's a psychologist at Hunter yesterday, that we're jumping in at a little boxes. We have our video boxes. We have our computer boxes lately, because in this moment, I'm very happy. Like, I am with you. We're talking. We're engaging. I don't know how this is going to turn out on the editing room, but we're enjoying it. But in the next minute, I'm going to get a call because somebody has been severely impacted by COVID or some situation. So we're pivoting and switching so much lately. So being present is a gift we can give ourselves sometimes to say, in this moment, I can be joyful. 5 minutes from now might be a different story. So I think pivoting is a big thing right now that I've experienced. And giving ourselves permission to say, that's okay. You know, I can be all those emotions packed into one very busy day.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I love the idea of splitting a piece of paper down the middle and writing down what you're actually hearing and taking in. And then on the opposite side, writing down, here's some things that I would like, just thoughts mm-hmm. that came into my mind. I think that that's extremely valuable. And the idea of pivoting and switching and moving from task to task, you know, mm-hmm. I'd like to think that I can seamlessly do that, but I'm taking with me the stuff that I was thinking about before. So just being aware of that and mm-hmm. giving yourself grace and giving other people a little bit of grace too.
Let me touch. I love the fact you paused. That's excellent. give me a chance to jump in and say something. In the applied storytelling method, when I use storytelling in workshops to teach people how to listen to themselves and appreciate themselves and also appreciate others, and then get to down to whatever task they want to use the applied storytelling method for. One of the things we do when people are sharing the stories, we teach the listener how to listen and how to give feedback. And one of the pieces of feedback during those sessions is putting somebody in charge in that small group of listeners to write down key words that came to mind about what they thought was really important about the story and about that person. And another person will talk about things that they wish they could have heard more of. And the most important part of this whole process is they are not interrupting the storyteller. It's one of the few times many people have said that they have not been interrupted and they have been totally heard from start to end. So it's a powerful connection. Once somebody has really shared a story with you authentically, your relationship has shifted forever. You carry something very important in that sharing.
Yeah, I can certainly speak from personal experience there. And I think that is such a powerful thing. And then giving people roles and responsibilities of, you're going to write down what you thought the key points were, but just letting people to be able to talk. I think that that's a really powerful thing. How is part of your work helping people to be, I guess it's proactive, maybe assertive about if they're feeling overwhelmed by all this stuff that they have to manage through at work, and how can they set boundaries?
Yes. So there's three arms to my work. I speak, I coach, and I do the training in the workshop. But you're speaking to when I'm coaching somebody. I start from where they are and what's their perspective about what they are, drawing a picture of what their role should be and how they fit into it. Some folks need to maybe use their stories to appreciate that they have certain gifts and skills that are make them fully capable to do the work that they're supposed to do, and maybe build out ways to build some space for them. Maybe it's getting an opportunity to not just have a coach, but a mentor, or what I call a board of advisors for them, to really help build their skills and their support going forward. So it really depends on what the person needs. But my role, even though I love telling stories and jokes, is to get to a place so that person relaxes and starts to listen to themselves. And my goal is to do a lot of feeding back of what I heard and maybe different ways of how they can talk to themselves and share their internal dialogue. Maybe the messages need to change.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, Julian, the people are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Oh, my goodness. I brought a couple. First of all, you have to show up and try. I think we're in a situation now where there's a lot of good attempts to talk or listen, but there's a lot of anxiety and anger. And I think try and be patient and let the person know that you are committed to listening. Now, if you're listening, that means you have to make a commitment to not talk and pause and just be there. So that's my big tip of the moment. And I think keep showing up. You're writing articles on LinkedIn. I'm writing things. And everyone says, try. These are the top three things you have to do. 7 things, 10 things. What about trying one thing every day that you say, did I give myself a chance? Did I push myself out of my comfort zone to do something? And that would maybe really make a difference. So that's my tip. Nothing, it's not rocket science. And I can't patent this, but I'm enthusiastic about it. I want people to try and just do their best.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets it. Come on.
Come on.
Yes, show up, do your best. Let's focus on maybe one thing. Stretch it to two potentially, but let's knock off the 15 and the 20 stuff. That's preposterous.
Julian, you got to read my book.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You have to read the book. You have to get it. It's simple. You'll read it like in a heartbeat, and you'll have it. And you'll realize you should have had it ages ago.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Where can people learn more about you? And then give us the title of the book and where they can find it again, please.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let's start with the most important. The book title is The Learned and Queen's Communications Playbook. If you Google that, the winning against digital distraction will come up. But the book has a simple story about us coming together and taking our communications one conversation at a time. You can find me on the web, of course, at www.jryanpartners.com. Then there's LinkedIn and there's Facebook, but I'm not going to, you can find me. Just Google me. You'll be there. So I am looking forward to connecting to new people and more people and also showing up to work with you and your teams. And let's make a difference and do our best.
I love it. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Julian your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to jryanpartners.com. You can find her on LinkedIn and Facebook and pick up a copy of Winning Against Digital Distraction and get on the right path. Thanks again, Julian.
Listen, thanks so much. You have your best day. Be safe, be well.
Thank
Cheers.
You. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.